Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So she noticed when she let go of the breathing that she noticed a pain in her lower back, and that it was actually, it sounded like it was actually easier for you to pay attention to stay with that sensation. And that may be because it was competing with your attention, you know, that it was kind of a strong sensation, so it had been kind of pulling your attention, so it was easier. It's easiest in the mindfulness practice to let the mind go wherever it is pulled to. So in this case, it sounds like it was pulled to your back, and you noticed the way the waves of the sensation changed, that it kind of had different dimensions and different flow to the sensation. So that's beautiful, that description. The thought you had about, you know, should I stop meditating? You can pay attention to that, because sometimes, you know, you need to be careful with your body. And I'll talk more about that later. But did the bringing the attention to the pain in your back actually make it feel better or worse? I mean, sometimes if you bring attention to pain like that, it can actually have a healing quality to it.
I was hoping for that. But now I say not. It just changed personality. It went from sort of a cramping to a numbness to a, you know, sharp.
A lot of different kinds of sensations, yeah. Yeah, if that kind of thing continues, you might see if you can find a posture where, you know, you can get a little extra support behind your lower back. Do you have something rolled up back there?
I was thinking that maybe it would, I'd actually feel better if I was sitting on the floor, but then I would need something to rest my back again so that I could, you know, keep my legs in this position.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're welcome to move the chairs and sit right there. Yeah.
Oh,
certainly, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, definitely.
It seems like it'd be very supportive. You just relax, you know, you melt into the floor.
Well, it can be. I mean, I find that any still posture can cause some kind of stress on the body. So I find when I lie on my back for long periods of time, the points of contact kind of get contracted. So, you know, it works for a while. And, you know, just the alternation is also helpful. So definitely you can try lying down also. And if you continue to experience it. It is challenging to stay awake sometimes in the lying posture. But if you're interested, I can show you how I do it. And there's the main thing that I do is I lie with my arm like this. So I'm on my back and my arm is up, suspended, so that if I start to fall asleep, you know, it drops, and that kind of is a clue. Because otherwise, if you're just, you know, lying there, you can drift off into sleep without even knowing you're drifting off into sleep, without some kind of a, you know, helper to remind you. You know, when you're sitting up, you've got the, you know, the nodding that helps you remember. Yeah, so you can definitely, and you can lie on your back in here as well, if that helps. You might want to bring some kind of a cushion, because the floor can be pretty hard. Any other comments about what? Yeah.
One question is, I believe from some of the things I've read, you know, you're supposed to start off with a very erect posture, and yet when I followed you through all the relaxation after I'd done that, I realized that the way I relaxed is I collapsed down.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, it is helpful to have that kind of alert posture and see if you can relax around it. It does require that you're kind of in a balanced posture. If you're slightly off balance, you will kind of relax. So, you know, the spine has to be pretty balanced in order to relax around that posture. So it is helpful to have the alert posture and not be slumped. If you're slumped like this, it can be kind of hard to feel all of the sensations in here. So if you can. And you can also, if you've noticed that you've kind of slumped, you can just gently, you know, sit up a little bit straighter. Yeah.
I'm a total beginner, so what is the correct posture? Because really, I was like, you know,
well.
I noticed that even if I was like this, I came back to this, and I had actually a migraine when I already here. And when you said stop following your respiration, focusing on this for a few minutes, it disappeared.
Wow, that's wonderful. So with the sitting posture, it's helpful to have your butt elevated a little bit often. That can help to keep you from slumping quite so much. So we've got a bunch of cushions over here. You're welcome to try sitting on one of those. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I noticed my eyes keep popping open.
You mean that you
you wear masks and you're
I think I have heard of people doing that, but I think it may just be there's a little extra tension around your eyes. So you can just try to relax it, but just notice that's happening. I mean, that might be what your attention gets pulled to. You know, that you could just notice the quivering feeling of your eyes. Yeah. Yeah, that happened to me a lot initially too, that it seemed like I got very aware of the fact that my eyes were closed and I had to hold them closed.
Yeah.
So just try to keep them relaxed. Relax all the muscles. And if they open slightly, that's okay too. Okay, so we can go on. So a central part of this mindfulness practice is learning to be embodied. First, to learn how to actually feel the body, to learn how to become familiar with all the sensations in the body. So often we're in our thoughts, you know, we're thinking about the past, we're remembering things that happened, or we're projecting into the future, thinking about what we're going to do the next day or the next week, or we're thinking about what's happening right now. But it seems like very rarely are we actually paying attention to what is actually happening in our body. A little bit of sensation happens in our body and it reminds us of something that took place 5 years ago, and then we're off thinking about that. So we really lose touch with our actual sensations. So in mindfulness, the idea is to wake up to all aspects of our lives. Instead of living in this virtual world of our thoughts, you know, we often just lose track of where we are. For instance, if you're meditating, you may be feeling an itch, and you start out by noticing itching, and then you get annoyed. Oh, I'm really sick of this. I can't scratch this itch. This is really stupid. Where could I have gotten this itch anyway? What is it? Maybe I got a mosquito bite. Where was I that I could have gotten a mosquito bite? Oh, maybe it's West Nile. Oh, no. I better go to the doctor. I know it's going to be worse this year than it was last year. Maybe I should get up and go home so I can call the doctor. So the mind can just take off just from a small sensation, a little itch, and it can go from an itch to West Nile. It creates a whole world. The mind just creates a whole world of story. I mean, you all know what this is like. So in our meditation, we try to ground our experience in what's actually happening. And one of the best places to do that is in the body, in the physical sensations of the body. Most of the time, we're not really seeing things as they really are. We're not really experiencing what's happening to us. We're seeing things through the filter of our opinions, our thoughts, and our reactions to them. So the training in the mindfulness is to come back over and over again to what is actually happening in the present moment. And for this week, again, I'm suggesting you come back to the sensations in the body. The body can actually be like a very sensitive antenna to what is happening to us. there's a lot of information in our body about what's happening to us and about how we're responding to things. But most of the time, we're really just thinking about what we're experiencing, and we're not listening. I like to think of mindfulness as a kind of a listening to the body, a listening to what is actually happening to us. There's a tremendous amount of information that we don't normally pay attention to that's in our body, in the physical felt sense of our body. And it can take some time to trust that it's actually worthwhile to pay attention to the sensations of the body, because we have so much training that thinking is the way to work with our lives. So much training that thinking is how we solve our problems and how we understand things. But there's a tremendous amount to be learned from listening to the body. And we have so much practice with thinking that I'm suggesting for a while you just take a little bit of time to practice listening to the body. So in your meditation, as much as possible, let go of the thinking that happens. Let go of the content of the thinking and see if you can come back to the actual experience. What is it like to be a human being in this moment? What is it like to be a human being experiencing this tension or this quivering or this vibration or this pressure? What is it like? Just come back over and over again to the lived experience of the body. So one technique that can help you to stay present is this technique of naming or noting, and I mentioned it during the guided meditation. So I suggested you note the in-breath and out-breath as in and out, or rising and falling if you're paying attention at the abdomen. It can be really helpful to do this. It can kind of co-opt the thinking process into the meditation by giving it something to do. So you just note in, out, in, out. And then whatever other sensations would appear, pressure, vibration, if the mind wanders, you can note that, wandering, and come back. So that there can be kind of a steady noting of what is happening in our experience every couple of seconds. Rising, falling, vibration, pressure, quivering. Just like that, very gently. What's happening? Notice what's happening and gently naming it. It has a couple of purposes. First, it does help to co-opt the mind into the meditation, the thinking process into the meditation. But it also serves as a really good feedback mechanism to let you know how present you are. So, for instance, if you're noticing the in, out, and you find that you're using that note in, out, but you're actually paying attention to a pain in your knee, you know that then you're probably not really paying attention to the pain in your knee. You know, you're more reacting to the pain in your knee, and there's kind of an automatic process going on with the in, out. So it can help you to be aware, are you actually paying attention to what you think you're paying attention to? Another thing it can help us with is there can be a kind of a tone of voice to the note. If you're noticing itching, and the kind of tone of voice is itching, there might be a little reactivity going on. So it can help key you into a reactivity that could be happening also. So sometimes this noting practice feels awkward at first, and a lot of people think it kind of gets in the way. And it is a technique. It's kind of like riding a bicycle. You know, you have to learn the technique of riding the bicycle, and it feels really clumsy at first. But after a while, you can do it smoothly. So I'd encourage you to just give it a try for a little while and see if you find that it's helpful to use this noting practice. If you find that it's just completely not your thing, that's fine. Just let it go. But it does tend to be helpful at times. So one of the most common experiences for meditators is to have some pain while they're meditating. So I want to take a few minutes to talk a little bit about that and how to work with that. So you'll probably find as you sit, partly it's just the stillness of the posture. You know, the body in stillness, it kind of unmasks the stiffness and rigidity of the body to try to be still. So it can be, we'll start to see our knees hurt, our back hurt. When we experience a pain in meditation, the basic instruction is to just do like it's any other object. So if you're paying attention to the breath and you notice a pain in your knee or a pain in your back, just let your attention go to that object, to that pain, and see what happens to it. Notice the sensations. They may be unpleasant sensations. They may be burning, stabbing, pulling, tearing. There may be kind of unpleasant sensations that you notice. But that's the basic instruction. We let go of the breathing and bring our full mindful attention to the painful sensation. And it can be counterintuitive to do this. We're not a culture that typically pays attention to pain. We are kind of a fix-it culture. We're typically going to run to the medicine cabinet and get some aspirin to fix our pain. So it's not something that we often do to actually bring our attention to pain. But it can, as this gentleman noticed, actually you noticed not so much bringing your attention to it, but just that bringing your attention into your body, that the pain of the headache went away. So it can bring a spaciousness to the pain that can help us to relax around the pain. So one of the things we do tend to notice in our meditation is a reactivity to pain. So we will actually notice that how much of the pain we're experiencing is actually tied up with the reaction. So if we're hating the way something feels, there's a component of tightening that can happen that can actually, so we can contract around the physical pain, and that could increase the physical pain. So there can be a kind of a feedback loop. If we're aversive to the pain and holding ourselves braced against it, it can actually increase the physical pain. But another way that we can experience more pain than we need to is through emotional reactions. So we can have a feeling of fear or a feeling of despair or of anxiety about a pain. And that feeling, that emotional feeling, is itself unpleasant. So we've got the physical unpleasant sensation, and on top of that we've added an emotional unpleasant sensation, the fear or the anxiety or the despair. And those two together make the actual physical sensation feel far worse than it needs to. There's so much reactivity in our minds that a lot of the meditation is uncovering that reactivity and beginning to tease apart what is the actual sensation, what is the actual physical experience, and what is happening in our minds about that experience. And as we start to tease those apart, we'll start to see some very interesting things about pain in particular, but about everything. You know, the pain, as we start to look at it, we see that it's really just a set of changing sensations, vibration, moving, tingling, throbbing, a lot of different sensations coming and going. It's not something really solid. We often just get lost in our stories or our narrative or our thoughts about the pain. But if we can just bring our attention into the actual physical sensations, we'll find that it's something very different than we thought. We tend to think of pain as like a solid block of something that's just really rigid and not moving. But when we bring our attention, we see that it's actually just changing and moving and vibrating. And in certain states of meditation, what we experience, typically experience as pain, is simply experienced as strong sensation. It doesn't even feel like pain when there's no reactivity. In certain states of meditation, that is the experience of the body in pain. That it's not what we would call pain. It's simply strong sensation. So it's very, very different than we think it is. And the vast majority of what we think of as pain is actually experienced by the mind, not the body. However, sometimes when we pay attention to pain, and I want to make this very clear, that it is not always the wise thing to do to simply sit there and pay attention to pain. Sometimes pain serves as a signal. We need to move. We need to take care of our body. So something in the posture might be affecting the body, something we need to adjust our posture. So this is an excellent time to practice mindfulness of movement. I'd like to just kind of demonstrate this, you know, that if you're sitting here and suppose I'm sitting here and I'm experiencing a pain in my knee, in my right knee, and I feel like I need to move it a little bit to help release the pain because I feel like it's pinching a nerve or something like that. So the first thing that you would do is notice the thoughts about needing to move. As you notice the thought about, should I stand up? Notice that. Notice the thoughts about it. And then if there's a decision at some point, I'm going to move. Notice that. Notice that moment of deciding. That's kind of an intention of movement. An intention precedes every action of our body. And we'll talk more about that in a few weeks. But see if you can just notice that decision, I'm going to move. So sitting here, noticing the thoughts about wanting to move, and then noticing, okay, I'm going to move. And to do this, I'd suggest you move in small, very small, slow movements, trying to adjust in a small way, hopefully, to relieve the tension. So it might look something like this. And noticing all the little movements of the body. So noticing the lifting of the hand, the touching, the moving, the lifting of the hand. So doing it very slowly. It's fine to move in mindfulness practice. You can be mindful of anything, but try to move mindfully. Try to bring your awareness to the act of moving. What does it feel like to be a person moving in this moment? Another thing that's possible is that sometimes it's possible that a particular pain may not have anything to do with our posture, and maybe nothing we can do about the pain, that it's a chronic pain that's in our body that is kind of continuous. Sometimes those kinds of pains can overwhelm us and be difficult to be mindful of. You know, we can bring our mindfulness to them for a while, but then we get all reactive. We get all reactivity happens around that experience. So sometimes it can be helpful to skillfully let go of the pain. Just direct your attention to something else, to something neutral. So you can bring your attention into the sensations of your hand, or perhaps come back to the sensations of breathing, or find something fairly neutral, the sensation of your butt on the chair or your feet on the floor, something that you can ground your attention in that's pretty far away from the painful area of the body. And you can just let your attention rest in that neutral place. It can be helpful to cultivate that kind of thing. I find the hands are good, a good place to cultivate that mindful awareness, because there's typically quite a lot of sensations in the hands. So you can also, another place you can open your attention is to the sense door of sound. That can be a wonderful place to bring our mindful attention when we're experiencing pain in the body that we can't do anything about, because it's out of the body. It can be a real relief sometimes to let go of physical bodily sensations and open to sound. So being embodied means opening not only to all of the difficult experiences of our body, because there are a lot of difficult experiences of being in a body, but also to the pleasurable parts of being in a body. So that there are times when there are great feelings of relaxation and calmness in the body, with the meditation in particular. Meditating can bring a lot of very, very pleasant states of the body, a sense of well-being and relaxation and release. We need to bring our mindful attention to all of those sensations as well. Everything is meant to be attended to. And the body is the container for much of our emotional life as well, so that as we move into talking about emotions next week, it can be really helpful to have a grounding in the experience of what it's like to be in a body, so that we can experience our emotions also through our body. There's a lot that we can learn through experiencing our emotions through our body. But I'll talk about that next week. So I'd like to take a few minutes to see if there's any comments or questions about what I've said before I go on to talk about hearing meditation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But should I try not to do that?
I would suggest that you see if you can last just a little bit beyond what you would normally last. I mean, it is helpful to reaching the stiller and more deep states of meditation to have the body be still. And it is possible to just let the body be still for very long periods of time, but it does take some time to get there. So in the beginning, I like to suggest that people, if they notice that they want to move, see if they can pay attention to the sensation that makes them want to move for a period of time, say a minute or two, and notice what happens. See if you still want to move after that minute or two. And if so, then go ahead and move. So the goal is to be as still as possible. I wouldn't actually say the goal, but it is very supportive of a meditation to be as still as possible. Sometimes we can't. We have to move, and then we try to bring as much mindfulness to movement as we can. Yeah. Well, I find that the fatigue and sleepiness, there is actually a component in the body. It can sometimes take some time to actually discover what it is. But typically I find that if I'm resisting the fatigue, then sensations around it are feeling unpleasant. You know, kind of like there's a sense of not liking what's happening. But if I don't resist it, if I simply let myself pay attention to the fatigue, to the tiredness, to the sleepiness, it's very pleasant, actually. You know, the body actually feels pretty pleasant as it starts to relax into the place of sleep. I think it's designed that way. It kind of pulls us in, you know, that pleasantness pulls us in. So it is possible to notice. So see if you can notice some kind of physical sensations. You might notice a heaviness in your eyes. You might notice a kind of a heaviness or a feeling in your body. Typically, the sensations do tend on the side of heavy weight kinds of sensations. So just see if you can notice those. When you say fatigue, how do you know that you're fatigued? I mean, there's something that tells you that you're fatigued. There's something in the mind, but there's also something in the body that lets you know that. So see if you can explore how does your body tell you that you're fatigued? And take some interest in that and see if you can find those sensations. And you don't necessarily have to resist them. I had one practice where I was noticing a lot of sleepiness. It was on a retreat. And I noticed that as I noticed I didn't resist them, I was just noticing how pleasant it was. It was just so incredibly pleasant. The whole body just felt kind of tingly and heavy, and it was really, really pleasant. And then I noticed that I could just notice the moment right before I would drop like that. And with that, I would just kind of like sit up a little bit straighter And then I'd watch the whole process go again. You know, I'd get heavy and pleasant and, oh, this is nice. And, oh, yes. And then I would just begin to drop and I'd do it again. It kind of was like being on a lovely roller coaster, you know, kind of a, you know, very pleasant ride to go through those waves of sensation. So it's definitely possible to pay attention to the sensations of fatigue, of sleepiness, and bring mindfulness to them. So just experiment and see what kinds of sensations you can find. It can sometimes take some time to get familiar with our bodily sensations. Initially, we feel like, well, there's not much happening in there. But as we start to bring our awareness into our body, more and more sensations become apparent to us. Okay, so we can go on to talk about sounds. I'd really like to do this. So the awareness of body sensations includes all of our bodily sensations, seeing, smelling, hearing, tasting, touching. All of our physical sensations are included in the realm of paying attention to the body. But typically when we're meditating, we're not eating, although I am going to talk to you a little bit about eating meditation later. But typically when we're sitting in meditation, we're not eating, so we're not paying attention to the taste. And we're often not in places where, unless, you know, we're sitting next to a kitchen where somebody is cooking, we're not meeting smells too much. Our eyes are closed, so we're not seeing too much, except for what our mind produces. So really the physical sensations, the bodily sensations that are most obvious to meditators are the physical bodily sensations, the sense of touch, both inside and on the surface of the skin, and hearing. Those two are really the kind of world of the physical sensations of the meditator. So opening up our awareness to sounds can bring a really spacious quality to our awareness. It's bigger than the body. It opens up our awareness to a very large container. And sometimes it's helpful to cultivate this ability to allow our experience, sometimes difficult experience, can feel more easily held in a very large container. Also, the way that we experience hearing can be very instructive because we're just sitting here and sounds happen. We don't really have to try to hear. They just happen. So maybe a car drives by and you didn't have to work to do that. The sound just appeared in your consciousness and there it is, you hear it. So there's no need to work to do it. And likewise, that can inform a little bit how to pay attention to the physical sensations of the body. Sometimes we feel like we have to work, we have to find the sensation, we have to figure out what it is. And it's simply really just there and can be noticed. So the attending to hearing can be a helpful way to open up to a little more spacious quality to the meditation. So let's do, another thing is that it also helps us to recognize that in mindfulness meditation, there are no distractions. If you hear a dog barking, and that has become predominant, and it's pushed itself into the foreground of your experience, as I described earlier, that is simply what you pay attention to. That's what you're mindful of. It's not distracting you. It doesn't have to distract you from your meditation. It becomes your meditation. And likewise with anything at all, any experience at all. So the mindfulness of hearing really helps to remind us of this because often we do have this idea that it needs to be quiet when we're meditating. How can I pay attention if it's not quiet? Well, we can simply pay attention to whatever sounds are appearing. So let's do a short guided meditation on this. And we'll start with just a few minutes of just settling into the body the way we have. So get yourself into a reasonably alert, comfortable posture. And gently close your eyes. And take a few deep breaths to help you relax around the alertness of your posture. Now let your breathing return to normal. And take a minute or so to just scan through your body and let go of any obvious tension that you find. Bring your attention into your sensations of breathing, just noticing the sensations in the place where they're most obvious to you. Now let go of attending to the sensations of breathing and let yourself become aware that hearing is happening. Become aware of the sounds in the room, the sound of my voice, sounds outside. Soft sounds. Notice that the sounds simply appear, stay for a while, and disappear. There's no need to work to hear. The body does it for you. See if you can just let the sounds wash over you, the way you might let music wash over you. Again, if you find yourself wandering, see if you can just let go of the thoughts and come back to the hearing. So how was that for you? Anybody willing to share how that was? Probably about 7 or 8 minutes.
It was good with the sound. I found that my mind was wandering. And at one point I didn't think about the office at all.
That's nice. So, yeah, if you find that it is supportive for you, you can use it as a way to help you ground yourself in the present moment. Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you.
I find it helps ground as well, although I find that I need some variation. So for instance, if it was just the crow going out for a while, that was tough, and then you know you hear somebody's knees creak and then that was, oh, that's great.
Yeah, well, sound is typically, you know, there is typically quite a lot of variation, so. Yeah, but notice that reactivity, you know, too. You begin to notice a little irritation around the crow, it sounds like. So, you know, noticing, oh, there's some reactivity there. You know, we can just bring, I'll be talking about that more next week, you know, actually bringing the attention to that reactivity itself. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I think that's the opposite reaction when the crow stops and is like, wait, where are we?
Yeah, that is, again, it's a thought. You know, really, it's simply an experience. It's simply an experience. And I think that that idea that some things are spiritual and some things are not spiritual is one of the places of really deep suffering in our world, you know, because I think everything is sacred. Everything can have that sacred quality to it. Even the sound of a motorcycle. You know, if we bring attention, a kind of a sacred attention to it, the experience can have a sacred quality. So yeah, no, I understand what you're saying, but it does kind of point out that belief. It's really a view that we hold, that some things are spiritual and some things aren't. So notice that. Yeah, you did notice it. So that's good. Thanks. Yeah.
I've been dozing, you know, having this problem dozing off while I'm listening to the sounds that have been bothering me.
Oh, that's great. That's a good technique. I hadn't actually heard that as a good antidote for sleepiness, but if it works for you, use it for sure. Yeah.
So if this solves one of my problems, which is
Yeah, right.
I'm not like right next to him or anything, but he's downstairs and I'm upstairs.
Yeah, if it pulls your attention, I mean, there may be times when you can bring your attention to your breathing and then times when it goes to the sound of him playing. And you can just let it go there and just notice the experience of hearing. You might take an interest in seeing if you can notice the difference in the notes and when a note stops and when a note starts. I mean, that's one thing that's interesting about, like, crows, for instance. You know, if you're really, really paying attention to the sound and feeling, you know, right in your ear, you're feeling and hearing the sound of the crow, the moment that the sound stops, there's a kind of a startled feeling in the ear. You know, it's almost like there's still a little bit of pressure on the eardrum, and there's silence, and then the eardrum releases. So it's kind of the actual experience of the ending of a sound is kind of interesting when you can get that close to it. So you can really bring quite a detailed attention to these things and explore and investigate what is happening in the body about them. So yeah, you can just notice. First thing I think is just to notice when your attention is drawn there and when you can be with the breath. And when it's drawn there, you can really just let your attention kind of explore what it is to be hearing that. So I'd like to talk just a little bit about, I have some more suggestions for exercises for the week. So continue your daily practice, and if you're so inspired, your daily sitting practice, if you're so inspired, add a little bit of time, say 5 minutes to your sitting time. And I'd like to continue in suggesting ways in which to bring mindfulness into our day, into our everyday life, not just in the meditation. So like last week, I suggested picking a task like brushing your teeth or some kind of chore. This week, I'm going to suggest that you pick some kind of an activity to use as a mindfulness cue or a mindfulness reminder. You could use many things, just something that kind of happens regularly throughout your day. You can use walking through a door, turning on a light switch, hearing the telephone ring and answering the telephone. If you work on the computer, pick some activity on the computer, like clicking the X on the window to close it. Just pick something that happens kind of regularly and just use it as a cue to pay attention. You know, wake up, this is happening right now. What's happening in my body? Just notice in a very general way what's happening. No big deal. Just use it as a kind of a mindfulness bell. Pay attention right now, what's happening. It may take some time. I would pick some particular activity that you're going to choose as your mindfulness cue. Opening doors, getting in and out of the car, something that happens regularly. And it will take some time for you to remember to pay attention. So don't be frustrated that the first time you remember to pay attention to having walked through doors, you've walked through doors for the last 3 hours and didn't remember. The first time you remember, that will kind of be the experience. Oh, I've walked through doors for the last day and I haven't remembered. But that moment of remembering, that moment is the beginning of the practice. So that's not the moment to say, oh, this is hopeless, I can't do it. That's the moment to say, oh, I've remembered now, so I'll try to remember the next time I walk through a door. And then it may happen that you only walk through two or three doors before you remember. And that's a little bit of another step. You've remembered a little bit more quickly. Finally, you'll remember right after you've walked through the door. Oh, I was supposed to remember. And then at some point, you'll actually remember walking through the door. So it can take some time, and it has that kind of a process to it. So be patient with yourself, and don't give up immediately. The other thing I'd like to suggest you try is eating meditation. So I'd like to suggest that once or twice this week, you try paying attention to eating a few bites of your meal. So eating is one of those places where all of our senses are engaged. It's a great place to practice mindfulness because we've got the seeing of the food and we've got the smells of the food and we've got the touch of the the fork and the bringing the food to our mouth and the placing of the food in our mouth, all of those touch sensations. And then we've got the taste on our tongue and the sounds as we chew and swallow. And we've got all the thoughts that arise around the food. So it's a very rich place to pay attention. So take one or two meals this week and try to eat the first 3 bites of those meals. So I'm not asking you to do the whole meal, just 3 bites of 2 meals this week. Try to eat them mindfully. And it can help to kind of slow down a little bit. Really notice the intention of, you know, going to eat your first bite. You know, look at your food. Start by looking at your food and notice which part you're most drawn to. Do you know the first piece of food you're going to put into your mouth? And then pick up your utensil and then reach for the food. And then notice all the actions of bringing the spoon to your mouth or the fork to your mouth and placing it in your mouth. Chew the food. Notice the whole process of chewing and swallowing. It can be helpful to actually put your utensil down while you're doing this chewing and swallowing. Because typically what we do is we chew and we've scooped up the next bite and we're ready to put it in before we've even finished swallowing. So let yourself fully finish the bite. Chew it, swallow it. You can even feel it going down your throat. And if you're like drinking warm tea or something, you can actually feel the warmth going all the way down until it hits your stomach. There's kind of a relaxation that can happen of the warmth as you feel the warmth going down. So really let yourself explore all of the sensations. And it can be helpful sometimes to pick this, to do this for a meal that you like, because then you really get to appreciate it. There's so many actually lovely, pleasant sensations to eating that we don't get to experience because we're off thinking about things. So see if you can let yourself appreciate and enjoy the process of eating. So that's it for this evening. And thank you all for your attention and your participation.